First, Shalachim Hanukkah for everybody. And I'd like to also thank Rabbi Nemes, who is here throughout the Shiurim, for helping out. So we give him a karsa tov for all his assistance and for all the Talmidim as well, who attended at least most of the time. And Rubo Kukulo, right? Okay. So today we're here to discuss kashrus in the modern kitchen and the basic knowledge that one needs to have. Okay. So I mean, kashrus is basically the fundamentals of your day, and you can sneak out of those learnings. We know the Torah asks, Torah forbids certain foods, right? Nevela, trefa, all different types of forbidden things that the Torah said that you can't eat. This is the
puzzle marker.
Puzzle marker. A flashlight.
I had to go around and find one. That's not
for the board.
For the board. How did it?
Okay, so the Torah forbid all different types of machalos asuros. Now, comes the Gemara and says, not only did the Torah forbid the actual food items, but there is a concept called tam ki'ikar, which means that the Torah also forbade the tam of the food item. Because even if you're not eating the piece of chazer itself, say for example, you take a piece of meat, treif meat, and it was cooked together with, say, rice in a pot. Okay? And then you take out after you cooked it, you take out the piece of meat, and you just want to eat the rice. So is there anything wrong with just eating the rice? Because I'm not eating the meat itself, I'm just eating the rice. So the halacha of tam ki ikar says that since the treif meat was cooked together with the rice, so the tam, the taste of the meat is imparted in the rice. And now, if even I just eat the rice alone, I violate a prohibition. And that's called tam ki'ikar. The tam is like the ikar. In other words, if I have the taste of the meat, it's like eating the meat itself. Tam ki'ikar. Okay? Now, there is a concept also called bittul neshishim. So that means that when I cook the meat together with the rice, there's so much more rice than the meat that the volume of the rice is 60 times the volume of the meat. So then we assume that the tam was dispersed so thinly that you can't even taste it, and then it would be mutter to eat the rice. In other words, you can't lechatchila do it, because that's the concept of this concept called ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. In other words, I can't say, well, I want to have treif, so I'll put it in a pot and I'll just make sure the shishim and it'll be okay. No, ein mevatlin, bittul is only if it happened that way. If it ended up that way, then it's bottle. But you can't lechatchila orchestrate that it should be bottle. Okay? So therefore we have a concept of tam ki'ikar. Now, so tam ki'ikar applies also, say for example, I have a pot that was cooked non-kosher food was cooked in. And then, 5 hours later, it's already cleaned out. It's all totally clean. And 5 hours later, I cook rice in it. Can I eat the rice?
No.
Why? Because it's no sedan. It's the same idea. Tam kikr. Okay? But there is a concept called ben yomo and eino ben yomo. Ben yomo means the way we assume within 24 hours. Eino ben yomo means it's after 24 hours. So the idea is that if I cook treif meat in a pot, and now I cook the rice, and it's still within 24 hours of the treif meat, so then what? The rice is off. But if I cooked the rice after 24 hours, so then in the treif pot, even though there's no treif meat left, but still the tam was there. But since it's after 24 hours, it's called an eino ben yomo, and the food that was cooked, the kosher food that was cooked in the treif pot, that was not kosher yet, is what?
Kosher.
And that's eino ben yomo. And the eino ben yomo is based on the principle called nosein tam lifgam. Nosein tam lifgam. Which means that after 24 hours, the tam that was inside the walls of the pot is what? Putrid. So therefore, when you're going to cook rice later, so the Chiddush HaTorah of Tam Ki Iker was only said with good taste. But if it's bad taste, then it's mutter. So that's the concept of... So therefore, whenever you cook, whenever something made a mistake, and you used a non-kosher, or you used a meat fork or something like that. So if it was for your cheese blintzes and you use the meat fork, so if the meat fork was not used what? Within 24 hours, so then it's not going to mess up the what?
Cheese.
The cheese blintz.
What's the status of the utensil then after the
cheese blintz? So what's the status of the utensil after the cheese buns? So let me give you like the following scenario. Say for example, you took a pot that's used for fleishik, right? But it hasn't been used already in 24 hours. And by mistake, you boil milk in it. So what's the din? Is the milk kosher? Yes, because it's after 24 hours. What about the pot? So the pot, you have to kosher. Because the pot is basically what? It's a fleshy pot. Even though it's after 24 hours, it's still a fleshy pot. And now it has milk in it. So it has milk, even though the meat now is putrid meat, but it still has meat in it. So in the mela, you're going to have to kasher the pot. Now, so let me ask you a question. So based on what I just said now, after 24 hours, everything becomes mutter. So why do you ever have to kasher anything? Right, just wait 24 hours. That would be much easier than having to kasher things. So why do you have to? So the Gemara says, Zera Eino ben Yomo at to any of them. Meaning, Chazal were afraid that if you don't kasher things, and you just wait for 24 hours, you know how it is in life. What's the phrase? You give him an inch, and he takes a mile, huh? Something like that. So you give him, in other words, you tell him you can wait 24 hours, then he'll start waiting 23 hours, 22, you know how it is. You know how people are. So therefore, Chazal were afraid, so they said that once something is treif, even though technically after 24 hours it's mutter, you can't use it until you kash. But if you use it before you kash it by mistake, then the food will still be kosher after 24 hours. Well, you weren't supposed to do it, but it's still kosher. Okay, so these are some basic ideas here. Yeah.
This is also something that you did it by accident. Like with the nakosh, all the firstborn. If you cook the nakosh meat by accident, you thought.
If you cook the nakosh meat, yeah, no.
And then, like, you cooked rice. You said it could be kosher if it was, like, more than 68, or if the pot was clean. Still assuming that you did it by accident, the meat.
Which scenario are you referring to?
For all of those.
Which scenario?
And for all those we went through, you said, like, you can use it for dairy. Afterwards, if you do it, it's like the dairy still kosher.
It's always still kosher, even if you did it b'mezit. That's how we. There's one sheet that says not that. Even if you did it b'mezit, Mam should have invited. He said, okay, 24 hours. Now I'm gonna just cook milk in it. He did it b'mezit. Half a pekin, the milk is still kosher. Well, you weren't supposed to do it, but the milk is still kosher. In other words, aim of adla nisalachatchila. So, in other words, is really talking about when you take when you're interested in eating the extra food. They say, for example, I'm hungry. Okay, I need dinner. So I go. You know, when I first came to YU on 84th Street. So on the corner there was a called Shapsi's Pizza, right? The corner which is now about Doggy Dogs, that corner, and then where the CJF is was Fleishik fast foods called what? McDonald's. That's what it's called, McDonald's, on the Breuer's Hechsche, McDonald's. You know, we used to go in there every once in a while. You know, the old style of takeout, you know. It was good. It was there for a long time. McDonald's. So say like this. You know, I had a late class. So I'm going into McDonald's. It's about to close. And they only have two hamburgers left. Two hamburgers left. But I need three hamburgers. I'm hungry. It's finals, you know. I need three hamburgers. But they only have two left, so I buy out the two. So then, you know what I do? I go down the block to Burger King. And I buy another hamburger from Burger King. Okay? Then I take out all the wrappers, so I can't tell the difference which is which. And now, I have three hamburgers in front of me. Right? Three hamburgers. Two are kosher. One is straight. But I don't know which is which. And the rove is what? Kosher. So the halacha midaraisa is what? Vittel Barov. So I'm able to have dinner with three hamburgers. Now I have a kishmak at dinner. So the halacha is, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to do that. And if you do it, you can't eat the food. If you pull that song.
Okay. So it doesn't really apply.
If it was there, you see, in the case of, if I use a kli before 24 hours, so I'm not interested in the tam that's coming in. That's not going to make the rice more filling for me. But here, I need three hamburgers. I need three hamburgers. I don't even have two. McDonald's. king to get my third one.
Okay.
Good? Okay. Harav Mendelsohn,
You said the issue, the whole deal of 24 hours, because by that point the meat would be putrid and a negative taste that you don't want your food.
Yeah.
What about things that go putrid way before 24 or 5 hours even?
We assume that come 24 hours.
That's the minimum threshold.
We will not go any more calm. Okay. Now. Okay. Right, next. This is a crash course of your day and speak in an hour. Come out here with a speaker. Okay.
I got the class
now.
Like everyone's class ready.
Right. Now, we know from Hilcha Shabbos, okay, that there's a concept of Kli Rishon and Kli Sheni. Okay? Kli Rishon is the Kli that was on the fire. Kli Sheni is when you pour it into something else, that's the Kli Sheni. So the question is, the halacha of tam, is that only said by a kli rishon or even by a kli sheni? Say, in other words, the soup bowl, the soup that you cook the soup in on the fire, if you use the milk one by mistake, so that for sure, if it's within 24 hours, it's going to ask it, and then you're going to have to kasher it if you use the flesh corn for milk. Okay, this is a kli rishon. But kli sheni, say all the knives and forks that we have in our drawer are usually all kli shenis. Because you're not usually putting them on the fire. Alright? So then, there's a big machlokas. Some poskim hold that by kli sheni, there's no din of tam kikim.
So you don't need a kasher.
Yeah, so if you make a mistake, so it's not the end of the world. If you make a mistake, and by mistake you take a fleshic fork out, and you would use it for a hot cheese blitz. Right? Hot cheese blitz. So if you hold it, you have to be machmir on kli sheni, so then it's going to be a problem. Meaning, the cheese blitz you could eat if the fork wasn't used within 24 hours. But the question whether you have to cash in the fork. So if you a machmir on kli rishon, on kli sheni is a problem. But if you hold it, the din of tam kikim is only by kli rishon, then you're okay. So people try to be machmir even on kli sheni. But you know that if there's a situation. There are poskim to rely on that by kli sheni there's no bleeds. Now, so technically that would mean that you would need two sets of dishes of knives and forks because it's all kli shenis, right? But the minhag is to have two separate because we're afraid, like everybody said, the poskim say that there could be some. Like mamash a piece of meat stuck on the, in the fork. So even if we're making on kli shenis, we should have two separate cutleries for fleshik and milk. The only time that we're not machmir is by what? Drinking glasses.
That's not called glass.
One time, slowly. Glass is a whole big shiloh, but there are many poskim that hold that glass is not bole. Glass is not bole. That even if you cook milchik in a glass bowl, it remains parf. some are only machmir for Pesach by that. So so drinking glasses is mamish. So glass, if you assume, is not goleah, but still there should be a din to be said, even if cliche is not goleah, we still have two separate cutleries. But that, Rabbi Bali pointed out to me, no, it's the idea is that by drinking glasses, nothing really gets stuck. So Mela, even l'chakila, you could have, that's what people do. They don't necessarily have two separate sets of glasses, you know, drinking glasses. And one set, and it's okay. Okay? So that's it, yeah.
We should know, Kulayama says it's like, you don't need a kosher?
No, Kulishli, there's no such thing as Kulishli.
It's like, if it is actually the third move, or is everything just cliche?
It's all cliche, yeah. And Pashas, even a little Shabbos, probably like that also, but.
So let's say a drinking glass, could you put hot chicken soup in and then wash it and drink a glass of milk?
Well, I mean, drink a glass of milk and then.
Yeah, I mean, usually we just drink it for drinking, you know. We usually don't do it for soup, you know. Soup is more like a food.
I was thinking it can be soup. Something that would go on.
I'm saying soup, even.
Soup
know,
juice, having the soup juice.
Someone sticks.
So, Kitzer, but the point being is that if you make a mistake by glass, you're okay. You want to rely on that to catch it. But still, if you have glass, say for example, a Pyrex. This glass, Corel,
it's
Corel,
like it's the type of dish that's made out of glass.
Yeah, it's also a variety point that made. It's also glass. So again, a lot of some people their whole kitchen set is Pyrex, is Corel, but still they have two sets of dishes because, you know. We still have two sets of dishes, even. But if you would make a mistake, so by Corel, you have two things to rely on. Say, for example, you make a mistake that you put your cheese blintzes, hot cheese blintzes, right out of the oven on a fleshy thing. So then you have two things to rely on. First of all, it's cliche-y. And second of all, what? It's glass, so then you're good. Now, it's important that you should be aware of the shita of the marshal. Lover Gush. So the marshal says an unbelievable thing. He says the whole concept that if it goes from one kli to the other kli to the other kli, it's rishon, sheni, etc., that's only by liquids. By a solid, it maintains its heat. So if you took a piece of chicken from the hot on the fire and then you put it on your plate, that's still called Kli Rishon. So then that changes everything. That means that all our cutlery now is going to be Kli Rishon because we're sticking it in the chicken. As long as the chicken is hot, obviously. But you have to realize that the Ramah argues on this Marshal, and we treat this Marshal only as a Chumrah. So Mikir Din, you don't have to follow the Marshal.
Most of the time you're not taking the chicken directly from the fire onto your plates, going onto like another plate.
Doesn't matter. You can go with 15 plates. It's still heat hot, and it's still a Kli Rishon.
Does the Marshal talk about how only 15 plates eat for?
Yeah, of course. If it's not no longer you have to let it go,
yes,
then it's no longer Kli Rishon. So this Marshal, you know, is very big Chumrah, this Marshal.
And the whole story with Karifas, that's the whole bit of the topic
there. Okay, Karifas we didn't get yet. Karifas we're going to talk about, but let's...
Does everyone hold Pyrex as like glass, or some of your being?
You'll always find machmir and everything.
But see, I'm not here to give you 15 sheets, but that's attached. There's something to say that like there's a chemical in it because it's so cheap, which is just like sand and makes it more absorbent than regular glass.
Okay, so every there's always somebody, every family, who has like a great grandmother who wasn't so frum, who has this set of china that she wants to give to her. She has five different sets for each grandchild, you know.
So, china. So, what do you do? See, so some say, well, you know, because we know when it comes to Hesher Kalim, so there's a concept that a Kli Cheres, he can't. Yeah, Kli Cheres, the Belia doesn't come out. Now, so you see the two ways of kasher in the world. There's Hagala and there's Lima. Hagala means that you kasher it with boiling water, Lima, and that takes the tam out. We don't have enough time to go through all the dinim. Libum means you take fire and you what?
Burn.
So the question is, what's wrong with the Kli Cheres? Why can't you kasher it through Libum? Because, you see, the idea is Kli Cheres doesn't, you can't get things out. But Libum is not getting things out. Libum is what? Sorev ben Kovo. So why can't you kasher, in other words, Hagala is Poland. But Libun is what? Soref Bimkoma. Okay, so why can't he do that? So the answer is because we're afraid that you're not going to do a good job. Because you're afraid it's going to crack. Mm-hmm. So therefore what?
You will burn out.
So therefore they say, no, leave, you can't do leave. So what's the story with China? So, it's like this. So number one, you have the heter of Kli Sheni. Because most of the China you're going to get was never put on fire. Now, I have to tell you one thing now. That mamish changed the world. Okay? One of my friends, Rav Goodman, pointed this out to me. That can make things in mamish l'chumra. Okay? You know what that is? One thing. What is it called? You know what it's called? Microwaves. Because microwaves now can make things that otherwise would have been what? Klisheini into klirisha. Because if you put the plate in the microwave, so now that's that was a Kli Risha.
Even though the plate doesn't get hot.
Right.
That's because the food on the plate's getting hot.
Chicken's not there. Right. So that could be a Kli Risha. But if you know, but I don't know, do people put their china in the microwave? They do.
I do.
You do. You
China do?
Yeah.
So, but usually it's something that you probably had from your great-grandmother, I don't know, you know.
I definitely did it though.
Yeah, did it, so that's one thing. Then, there's another tzad cooler, Ramabari said to me, is that a lot of the china is usually what? Glazed. So, and glazed is what? Could be the cooler of glass. So then another smarter that maybe it's not more like. Now, there is a concept. There's one way that Chazal say you could kasher. You see, we said there are two types of, there's Hagala, there's Libun, and there's a third thing. Hakzara Lekivsha. If you put the Kli Cheres back in the kiln that it was made, then what? Then even Kli Cheres becomes mukkah. Because there, we're not afraid you're not going to do a good job, but you put it in the kiln and you shut the door. So now, maybe now, if you're using a blowtorch
So we're afraid you're not going to do a good job.
But if it's what? If it's in the...
From kill, so then... So then it's... So Rabbi Kandler has the Chiddush. And this is what he says. He tells people when they have a china, when they want to, what he tells people to do? Put the china in a self-cleaning oven.
Mm.
And that he considers
Hachzara L'Kipshon. Because there's no chashash, you're not going to do a good job.
He put it in the self-cleaning oven, shut the door, finished. To the self block, finished. The only thing is, as he points out, doesn't always survive. Sometimes the dishes crack. And gain too much. But there could be what to rely on if, based on the cliche put together with the legs. Especially if it was, obviously if it wasn't put in a microwave. Then you only have the glaze cooler, but not the plea. So that's, you're not as good as far as, you still have that far, which, maybe not everyone would agree with, but,
When you're pasturing a pork, like a dairy pork that you use for meat, or a meat pork that you use for dairy,
Yeah. Does
the pot that you put it into supposed to be a dairy pot or a meat pot?
As long as it wasn't used for 24 hours, you're good. Okay? So that's how you usually do hagol. You wait 24 hours with the pot and with the fork, okay, before you do anything. Okay, I have a lot more to say, but this is we got a lot of stuff here. Okay, now you ready? I'm ready for the modern kitchen. Ready for the modern kitchen? Let's go. What should we start with?
Oven.
Okay, yeah. Oven. Okay. Can I erase a little bit? Have you got everything? Yeah, can I erase? Yeah, I can erase.
Scientist is ready.
Where is the first temperature at time?
So the Chazal Kipshon is you're putting it into the kipshon. You're putting it into the thing. You see, my friend Rav Goodman said that maybe that's not called Hachzor L'Kipshon because it's not hot enough. That you can't make a Kli Keres in the self-cleaning oven. It has to be hotter than that. But Rabbi Tadla's far is that, no, the whole idea is that you're Mesulok, from Sukkot. Okay, ovens. Ovens, so what do we have to cook? We have to do ovens. What else? Countertops. What else? No?
Sinks. Microwave.
Sinks. And what else? No?
Microwave.
No.
Dishwasher.
No. Okay, ovens. Ovens is the shan of zeh, sweat. Meaning that if you have, say, you cook meat and it sweats up, it's the vapor, so now you have now your oven just became what? Inflation. So now if you're going to put in your cheese blintzes an hour later, still within 24 hours, so then what? The ton of the vapor that was from the flation is now going to come down into the, if it can make it drink.
It's only 24 hours at this point. Like if you cook chicken the next day, you want
to. Give me a second. Okay, so this is. What I just said now is the potential problem. I didn't say this is the halacha. This is the potential problem.
here's the potential problem. Zayin. So there's a lot to say.
So Rav Moshe, first of all, writes that Zaya perhaps is only by liquids, not by solids. So it's only a problem if you had a soup. And by then you assume there's Zaya. By solids, so some hold there's never Zaya by solids, and some hold that what? That it depends if there is Zaya in Matthias, is there Zaya or not?
But then there's another mahalach in ovens, and this is a good cooler. Not everyone agrees to it, but still, this is what I tell people: make your din. And the various posts are valuable, but it's all just all like this. And that is
one word: vents. And our ovens all have vents. It's illegal not to have a vent. So Mela, we don't have Zaya anymore. Because there's no, like Rav Shach always says, Zaya means like thick steam.
Will it come out of the oven when you open it, thick steam?
So Mela, since there's a vent, so Mela never accumulates the heavy steam.
What used to happen though when there were no vents?
When there was no vents, then there would be heavy steam. You have to realize another thing about the ovens Bizman Chazal. People used to put the food directly on the oven. So when you would, like the pizza oven, the dough goes directly on the oven. So Meikir Hadin, is what to rely on. Rav Moshe didn't accept this, but there's what to rely on that all our ovens are kosher. Meaning, you don't have to worry, you don't have to wait 24 hours between milk and meat by ovens, because it never became fleishig, it never became milchik, because why?
The vents.
Who's she famous? A lot of people, Rav Gifter held this way, and Rav Abadi, Rav Ben Sion Vosner wrote a tshuva about it. And Rav Moshe in his tshuva doesn't go for the vents. He's more machmer, but he says that he thinks it's only you only have to worry about it by liquids, and even and the solids only if you know for sure that there was whatchamacallit, there was steam.
Meat with gravy is a liquid.
Yeah. Okay.
So you don't have to wait at all.
Right, so you don't have to wait at all. In other words, you shouldn't keep it in, everybody tells people you shouldn't keep it in the same time because, but in other words, that's the only cafe that I tell people. Just make sure the meat and milk are not in it at the same time and then you're okay. This obviously is a big. Makes life much easier. Because you have to cook things and, etc. You have your. So you can put your pizza in the. Well, Rav Abadi, I think, told me once he thinks pizza doesn't have Zaya anyway. But, you can put your pizza in, Friday afternoon at 12 o'clock, and then 2 hours later, put your. Dough for your challah or your chicken in that same oven. Okay? That's vents. Okay. Thank God for the vents.
All you need is one oven?
Yeah, kosher kitchen.
One oven is enough?
Yeah. You have to realize, people, we live in an affluent society in America today where people have two this and two that, believe me, no one had 60, 70 years ago, grandparents here in America didn't have two sinks, they didn't have two ovens, they didn't have two anything.
What about a non-kosher oven?
So a non-kosher oven also.
You just cook anything in a non-kosher oven, it's fine?
As long as there's no stuff in it.
You have to wrap it or anything?
What?
The
food has been cooked in a korban and kosher oven.
Look, if it's mamish non kosher and you think there could still be some pieces of stuff there, so then you can wrap it in the.
The oven has to be clean. There can't be stuff on the wall.
Well, look, most of the stuff anyway in the oven is going to be burnt up anyway.
So then why for Pesach is such a big deal between the oven and everything?
Yeah, so it's also. So Mikir Din, this applies for Pesach as well. It says Pesach, you know, we get a little nervous and, you know, we. You know, Pesach. But technically, it's the same.
Where's double wrapping?
We'll see in a second. Yeah. Okay, so ovens, that's ovens.
Shabbos,
this is not a Hilcha Shabbos yet.
Can I ask a question on the toaster? Like a grilled cheese maker?
Grilled cheese. Okay, countertops. Now, basically, countertops are really all okay. Nothing really goes wrong with countertops. Because even if you move into somebody's house, first of all, you usually don't put the food directly on the countertop. So what's the worst case scenario? That there was some tray food, that spilled on the countertop. Maybe one time a tray hamburger spilled on the countertop. So first of all, it's already in a binyon. And even if it was not, what are you going to do? So say 2 hours ago, some treif hamburger fell on the countertop. So now it's all cleaned up. Now 2 hours later, in that very spot, you put a milkic plate. So it's not going to answer. But first of all, we have a klal that for a bliya to ein habalula yotzei mechaticha lechaticha below rotech. Meaning, so if you have a fleshy countertop and then you have a milk pot, but it's basically dry, so the blia of fleshiks that were in the countertop is not going to get into your milchic pot unless there's a lot of liquid there, which usually there's not. Even if it's a little moist, that doesn't count. So b'meila, there's nothing really that can go wrong with a countertop. So really all countertops are basically mutter. People have a minhag that they pour hot water on it, but even if you didn't, it's still good. So what could the only possibility is if you had something tray fell on your countertop and then within 24 hours there was a hot something hot was on that same spot. Which, when is that going to happen? Right.
What if someone was cooking like a pig on their countertop and the blood is spilling? You know,
okay.
Making a mess.
Okay. So first of all, it has to be hot for it to go in. But again, once it's after 24 hours, so meeker then the time is gone. So the shaila is, do you have to? is there the gzeira of Einu Benyomu Atu Benyomu? Do you have to cash it? So, yeah, well, you're not getting right. So there's no bleeds that are going to come out. So maybe lachatchila there's some minyan to kasher it, but it's not the normal way anyway of using it. You don't put normally hot food on the countertop itself. So at most, all you would need is to pour hot water, and maybe not even that.
Okay.
Okay, what's next?
Sinks.
So sinks. Basically, sinks is another concept called Iver. Iver. Iver is port. We discussed Kli Rishon, we discussed Kli Sheni. What's the halacha if you take something from Kli Rishon, you pick it up, the kettle, whatever, then you pour that water? So what is that water considered? Because once it lands already, it settles, so that's a cliche. But in the water while it's pouring, is that called a klirishon? Is it called a cliche? It's a whole discussion. So the Ramah paskins that basically if you don't really have a klirishon, it's only poured water. It's only poured water. So basically, there are more paskins. You could take fleishik, milk it together, dishes, even with schmutz on them. And there are more paskins, you won't have a problem because it's only Iroi. And Iroi cannot do, like we have in, you know, Chazal say, Ein malach echad oseh shtei shluchios. So Iroi can't do two things. So Mamela, if what it would have to do is, say you had a meatball that fell on your what? On your milchik dish in the sink. So it's not a problem, because the Iroi would first have to heat up the meatball, and then cause the tam to go into the what? Right, have to cause the meatball to take out the tam, and then have to go into the tam. So Iroi, according to Ramoa, can't do what? Ein malach echad osha shnei shluchios when it comes to gavli and to a keli. So in the Mela, there are more paskins that since it's, when it's Iroi, even if you mamish have milchiks and fleishik dishes together in a sink, and you pour hot water on it, it's all good. That's the Ramah's pasuk. So according to Ramah, nothing can ever go wrong in a sink. There's a sink, it's just Iroi. So nothing can ever go wrong in a sink. So you can manage im kol hadar. You can have manage everything in the sink. You can have milchiks, fleishiks, and so the Shach argues with this Ramah and says, no, it's not true. It can do two things, but the Shach has a kula that once it hits one part of the sink, when it continues flowing, that's called Iroi Shenifsach HaKiluach, and then that can't do two things. So basically, Rav Moshe writes that Bikur Adin, the only problem, so like Rabbi Berg was saying to me before, that basically you should just make sure you use the, well, it was the olden days that people only had one sink. They just make sure that they did the fleishiks and the milkiks separately. And the only time it would be a problem is if, theoretically, that spot where you had a meatball, within 24 hours, there was milk on that same spot where the water landed and the meatball was, which is usually not going to happen like that. So therefore, Moshe says that you know, the Mikir did it's okay. You know, people have a minute to use a rack. So so basically, according to Ramah, you can put everything in at once and put hot water will be okay. So our minute is, if we have two sinks, okay, that's the best. But if you don't have two sinks, then just don't do it at the same time. And usually people use racks. But if you know somebody
who's, you know, sometimes a lot of guys come home and they see their parents' kitchen and they see they're doing this, and guys have no clue of Hilchos Kashrus, of your day, of anything. And they just have feelings of what the way things should be. And then they drive their parents, you know, they make big machos, and they don't really know that really what their parents were doing was not always the worst thing. Sometimes it is, sometimes it isn't. And so basically, you know, there's one to rely on, that even the worst case scenario is in the sink. You know, so according to Ramon, nothing really could go wrong in the sink. So even though the Shach doesn't pass like Ramon, so and the Chafidah we try to do, but if you're in a situation where that's what your parents do or your someone's house, you don't have to worry about sinks. Nothing could go wrong in the sink. What about the Ramon?
What about introducing like non-kosher food to the sink? Let's say you have your dishes. Kosher dishes, kosher food, and then you wash
unless a dog
food bowl.
Dog food?
Which would not be kosher.
Dog food, yeah, not be kosher.
So say, unless you're washing the dog's dish, the same specific.
Same thing.
It's also not an issue.
I wouldn't recommend you doing that because, you know. In other words, what I would recommend is to have the milk separate, the flesh separate, even in two different sinks. Or not to do it at the same time. But I'm saying, if someone did it, the only issue would be, like Rabbi Berger pointed out, if you mamish poured hot soup into the sink onto a plastic dish, onto a milky dish, hot meat soup, so then even the Ramah would say that something perhaps could. Even that, I don't know. May I have to think about that. Maybe. Maybe it's not maybe, but even that is maybe it's not or not, and maybe so. Okay, I think it's not or not. Okay. But yeah. Okay. Maybe we can't give souls to me for now. Okay. We still have to do Dovah Charif, right? You want to Dovah Charif? Not or not. Okay, dishwashers. So basically, dishwashers is another shaila of, you know, if you have a porcelain dishwasher, so maybe that's called charis, and if it was used. You know, it comes up when people, two things that comes up. When a lot of people in here, they go rent an apartment, and the apartment was used by a guy, it was a dishwasher, so they could they, because they could be done kosher. And Rabbi Berger pointed out to me that we don't view dishwashers either, because even though it seems to be like water is poured around, but the heating element is right there. So that's not like a clear issue of the dishwasher. So there are different approaches to dishwashers. So one approach, Rabbi Moshe's approach, was to wait an hour, to wait a year, and then you can rely on, there's one opinion, I won't have time to fully do justice to explain it, that there's an opinion based on the Chacham Tzvi, even though he didn't exactly say it this way, that after a year, maybe like everything is mutter. In other words, maybe the concept that you still have to kasher is only within a year, but after a year, maybe the town totally disappears and you don't even have a gzeirah d'rabban. That's a question. Maybe so, and maybe, you know, if it's not porcelain, so you can just do a cycle or something like that. But if it's porcelain, so some treat like that charis. So there is an opinion of the Yerushalmi that says that even a kli charis, if you do hagala three times, that's the shitas Yerushalmi, the trumas, that you can do hagala three times on a charis is mutter. So Rav Moshe, I think that's how Rav Moshe says, you wait a year and you do three cycles and you're good. So, but that's a cool and a chumrah. That is, he's letting you use it, but you have to wait a year. Rav David Feinstein told me that he holds that you don't have to wait the full year. As long as it's pogum a little bit. You know, you go into a house that has a treif dishwasher, so basically you waited a little, it's more than 24 hours,
and you do, you give it three cycles, and then you could use it.
No matter what the surface is, no matter what it's made of, like even if there's plastic inside?
Right. Mm. It's plastic and the rubber grip everything?
For not pusher?
So that's what I would tell people. If somebody has one, you know, Rav David told me he could tell people they don't have to wait a full year. He told me that. So then, okay, so then there are. So then Rav Moshe has a kula where he permits even using for both, meat and milk, as long as it's not the same time. That's based on the concept of not bar not, which we're not going to have time to explain now. And that is that. You see, even if you have a milk and meat, so the tom goes out, and the time that the tom comes back in, it's a weird, whatever, I'm not going to do justice. But the Moshe has a tshuva like that. But Lamaisa, I think the most practical thing is to, you know, to just keep the dishwasher either for milk or for meat. Once you kashen it. Milk or meat. And that's... But they're Rav Moshe permitted even for both, as long as they're not together. And there are poskim that permit even the psak for the Syrian community in Flatbush, Ocean Parkway, and the S, the Syrian community. You know, Shari Tzion. There was a Rabbi Abadi, not the same Rabbi Abadi I was quoting, Rabbi Matlub Abadi. I don't know if you heard of him, from Shilos and Shuvas Magain Badi, and he paskin that basically you could put all the dishes in together.
And Rav Yitzchak told me he thought maker didn't, that's also the case. But Lamaisa, we don't usually do that, but if you have your parents, if you're in a situation where your parents, that's what they do, it is what to rely on, even if they put it in. Rav Abadi told me he thought maker and din it's all pogum between the soap and between the lichluch it's all pogum tam pogum and mela there wouldn't be any real problematic bleus. That's why when many years ago I called up Rav Yitzchak Abadi, I asked him, is it true that you hold you just have to wait 24 hours for a dishwasher? He said, no, I hold you don't even have to wait the 24 hours because everything that went in there is all, it's all public. So Lamaisa, what I tell people to do is if they're moving in and have a dishwasher, if they wait at least a day, so it's no some time of gun, they do three cycles, and they're good.
Why do we not worry about the plastic and not be able to cut your plastic? And
no, because there are enough sheet discs that you can cash it.
So if you have a knife that you had that in Obinyomo and you went from the meat to the cheese blends then, and it has a rubber handle and you can cash it?
Yeah. You may not have to because it's a cliche. And then another thing always comes up in the kitchen. You made a mistake, right? In the middle of dinner, it's always happened in the middle of dinner. You're eating your fleshy dinner and see you have milk and cutlery, right? And all of a sudden, oh, we have milk and cutlery, so you get all nervous and you put it aside. So again, maker didn't want to say there's a cliche and it's not a problem except for the marshal. Or if you're a kosher. Okay, but still people like to cash it. So you put it aside. Okay? Then you know what always happens. What always happens is the cleaning lady, the next day, she sees it there, she doesn't know what you're doing, and she puts it back. And that's it. And then you don't know where it is. Oh, so then we have a din of bittul. And we say bittul b'hechsher kelim. Say bittul b'hechsher kelim. Yeah.
Do you have to kasher it in the first place?
Well, I told you that there's one to rely on that it's a cliche and it wouldn't be a problem. But if you don't want to, if you want to be machmir even by kli sheni, so then you cash it. But but if again, then so, but the spool, so then it's possible. Even though some of machmir is one of them, shachar close for salvechik. Maybe today it's considered a negotiation on Ethereum, it's so easy to cash it, but there's what to rely on, that you don't have to cash it. But once it gets back in the drawer, then this, and then you're okay. Now, the microwaves, we assume that there is, could be Zaya. Now, body probably thought it's only if you used it like for some, not if you use it just for 10 seconds or something like that, you know, something more significant. But so the minig is that we cover one of them. Either you cover all your milkings, or you cover all your questions. So this way, you know, you wrap it, so double wrap, and then you're okay. So you just decide. And then if you made a mistake, so you can take it, you can wait 24 hours maybe, and you can take a cup of water, and you steam it up, and that's microwaves. Double carve? Okay. Well,
maybe this is my life, the Kharif.
What?
This is my life, the Kharif is here.
Kharif, yeah? Okay, so Dava Kharif, basically, I didn't tell you what Nafarnat is, so I can't explain how it affects Nafarnat, because you don't know what Nafarnat is, but I can tell you how, like this, that Dava Kharif says like this. Say you have a knife that wasn't used already for 24 hours, a fleshik knife, and you cut an onion with it. So an onion is sharp, it's harif. You cut an onion with it. So normally we said after 24 hours the food is always going to be mutter, or it's not going to become fleshik, but say after 24 hours. So the chiddush of harif is that even though it's 24 hours old, it can revitalize the pan. Well, normally you say after 24 hours, you carry in everything's mutter, but in Kharif, it reinvigorates the Kharifas. The Kharifas reinvigorates the pan, and we treat it to eels within 24 hours. So if you took a meat knife that wasn't used for 24 hours, and you cut an onion with it, so now the onion is going to full flesh. A lot of times, everybody's told me that who said your knife was really fleshy, your fleshy knife, because it was only used for cliche-ing anyway. So then you wouldn't have the anyway. Well, sometimes, if you cook in a pot, you cook onion, you saute onions in a milk-thick frying pan or a fleshy frying pan, so then technically it should be milk-thick or fleshy, the onions. But then also, the halacha is that, Rabbi points out that the din of harifis is only if it's raw. Once it's cooked, it's not harif. So then you don't have the din of harif. Ah, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you cook a dava harif in an eini ben yomo pot, it gets the status of ben yomo. So Rabbi told me that's if it's very, very harif. In other words, it can't just be an onion. It has to be something that's helpful and very, very harif. So then the harif is not going to go away so quickly. So then if you cook that, but it becomes milk and conflation or whatever that pot is, even if it's ain't a bignon. That's called the dover. Okay. Maybe I'll just tell you very briefly what Nachbarnat is. No Saint Tom. Okay, I think we covered a lot here today. I'll tell you, if you know this, what we did today, you know a lot. Nachbarnat is an abbreviation. No Saint Tom. Are no same time. So what it means is that it means like this, that you say you took fish fish is parf, right? And you cooked it in a fleshik pot, right? And now you want to eat that fish with, say, you cook it with, eat it with yogurt. So could you do that? So Naparnat says maybe that's mutter. Why? That's fleshik. The answer is because how did it become fleshik? One time, 10 hours ago, the pot was used for meat. So the tam of the meat went into the kedera, right? Now you're cooking fish in it, so now it's going to come out into the fish. But it's already like on havdil, it's on second base because the tam went from the meat into the kedera, from the kedera now into the fish. So that tam is considered meat, but it's like weak. So in certain situations, there's a discussion that since it's so weak already, maybe it's not strong enough to aser to be together with milk. Because it's weak meat. It's not direct tam that came from directly, you know, from, say, the meat into the rice, direct. It went from the meat into the kli. Now from the kli into the... So it already made two stops. So it's already... So the question is how to apply Naparnat. Maybe, you know, if you cook it, it's more chomer. So, but that's the general question of Naparnat. We can't... I don't have time now to go through all the details of Naparnat. But... Okay, but I think you learned a lot of Yesodos here today in the Kashrus, which I think hopefully will be an eye opener, and maybe one day you'll come to the Smicha program and you can learn it again. But okay, I'd like to first of all thank everyone. It was nice spending time with you, learning some in Yonei Halacha together. Hopefully, maybe we'll see each other next semester, or we definitely could see each other on the campus here. So if any of you want to continue a relationship, please feel free to do so. And if any of you are getting married, I teach Hasanim, we could learn together or whatever. So it's always good. And if you're in the class next semester, we could learn more halacha. And as Hashem, these are, of course, you know, halacha is a very... You know, it's a process. You know, I'm just giving you the Rosh Prokim. If you want to hear the long version of this, you know, then you hear the regular Smicha Shirim, which is all these topics. Each one is like at least from 1 to 5 Shirim, an hour and a half on each one of these Nakudas that we talked here today. But today you got the you got the Blitz. The overview of everything. So it was nice meeting you, and please feel free to come by and say hello, and it should be Masliach and this Bechina and everything in life. And thank you again, Rabbi Nemes.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon. Happy